Yo, 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 what up, y'all? This is your boy, Ricky Romance, and this is the Ricky Romance No Filter Podcast. That's right, y'all. We back, and we better than ever. You know what I'm saying? The number one podcast on iHeartRadio. Let's go.
All right, y'all, it's about that time. We're about to get into that special guest I was telling y'all about. And without further ado.
This is a No Filter Podcast. That's right, you guys. And we have a special guest in the studio. Director Sky. Sky directs himself, the man with one of the hottest movies coming to box offices near you. What's up, Sky?
Man, I'm one and all. You know what time it is, man.
What's going on with it, man? You know, man, I see you over there, man, doing your Singleton, your John Singleton. I don't know, man, I can't really compare to nobody, man. You know what I mean? But you in your own lane, man. Congratulations.
Man, appreciate you.
Finishing up your movie, man. Man, how was the process, bro? How did you even get started? You were directing videos for a long time. Then recently I just saw you on TV on the Jocelyn's Cabaret show, because I'm a big fan of her franchise, and it said that you was her agent. So I was just like, hey, that's my guy. I know bro from way back in the day, and you feel me? And so I didn't have no idea that you was actually like really doing your thing with the movies, man. Congratulations. How did you even get started? What made you decide to say, I want to not do music videos and start doing movies?
Well, that was always the plan, man. And you know, before I go in depth with it, man, thanks for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it, man. We about to make this one history. So people in you know, 5-10 years from now, they can come back and be like, wow, man, that was a great interview, man, that Sky Directs had with Ricky Romance. But that was always the plan. I had started doing the music videos just to get to the movies, but I realized like I can't get to the movies without having a portfolio of work and be able to have an understanding, because I didn't go to college like USC to learn filmmaking. So I had to use the music videos as my college, as my 1 to 3 day course, crash course of learning how to film, so how to deal with talent.
Would it be safe to say that you backdoored the industry doing music videos and now you're a big time film director?
Man, I think that's safe to say for a lot of directors. Michael Bay, he did a lot of music videos. John Singleton did a lot of music videos. They all did. So I think I was just following the footprint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Do you have multiple movies that you shot, or is it just one movie in particular that you're getting ready to put out, or
I did was I just used it as leverage, our levels. I said, first let me bang out all these music videos and film these music videos as mini movies. The first music video that I filmed that went national was with Megan Good. She had a girl group called Hello Girls. And
I remember them.
You remember them, yeah, right? Her sister Lamaya, Amy, and Stella, I believe that was her name. But yeah, so that was the first video that went to 106 and Park before 106 and Park shut down. So that was my first like mini movie music video. That shit was like six minutes long. But after that, I had started doing short films.
Wow, they were like the Pussycat Dolls, man.
They were like the Pussycat. Yeah, they was like, yep.
Didn't y'all have like an ice cream truck in the video or something?
We had ice cream truck. We had
that was a big production.
We had the Steadicam, the red cameras. My man Thor, who's a Steadicam for everybody's music video, he was my Steadicam before anybody was really rocking with him.
I mean, how old were you then, man, when you did that video, man? Because you've been working these cameras for a minute.
Yeah, I was like a good 22. I was young.
So how old was you when you was working with B2K and you was doing the reality show stuff?
Man,
with my brother and Fizz.
That's where it all started and where it all stopped. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, damn.
that's where.
Didn't you make a lot of good money? Didn't they like pay you money up front to tape it, and didn't you make good money off the like streams of YouTube and stuff like that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I'm still
I wasn't capitalizing off of YouTube because I didn't have the account set up. I didn't know what YouTube how to set it up back then. So I was putting the trailers of the series up, little webisodes up, and then you know it was buzzing, 600,000 views.
Oh yeah.
So it started with Nick Cannon, and then I met Cooler Love, who introduced me to Fizz, Raz, and Jay Boog, and that's where he was like, y'all got the group.
Wait. Cooler Love. You ain't talking about the Cooler Love that Mace be talking about in the songs.
School me to the game. Cooler school me to the game.
Wow. Cooler school me to the game. Now I know my duty. Whoa.
Yeah, that Cooler. That Cooler.
Damn.
That Cooler, man.
He's a legend, bro.
Biggie's road manager, Discover Mace. Yeah, that Cooler Love.
Wow, that's a blessing, bro, to like end up like working with him. And what is the relationship like today? Like all these years later, do you guys?
He's the executive producer of the movie Run Nixon, so it's still valid. It's still
Wow.
The train's still going.
Wow, you just dropped a big bomb right there. So you got some real heavyweights behind you. And I mean, wow, this project. I mean, Fizz is like a big star, you know, with B2K and you know, Love and Hip Hop. I mean, he's doing so many things. He got restaurants and so many other brands and. Wow, like that's pretty cool, man, that you was able to pull this off, man. Wow. So how soon can we look forward to seeing it in the theaters? Or are you guys still in the editing process right now? Cause I know you just came off the set like not even a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we just got done filming. But nah, it's almost there. We probably got another month, 45 days of sound design, cause we taking it extra step. The independent black filmmakers do, you know, they stop at just making a movie. You don't really do too much in the post side because that budget for post got to be bigger than the budget for down there for production. But luckily for us, we're blessed in that field of post production, so we're just making sure that the sound is there, so it's movie theater ready, the colors there, and everything's just polished. So you know, so the results match what we filmed.
That's crazy, man. I mean, believe it or not, bro, I went to LA City College. I took the cinema program there. I took cinema 1, 2, 3, and 4. I did not pass. 4 was my scripting class, and it was at night, and I just couldn't do it. But I got a little school, and I seen a little bit, kind of like, you know what I mean, the basic stuff. And I was just like, yo, I already know people, man. Just let me get a camera. Let me go have some fun. So, man, I don't know. You really inspired me, man. You know what I'm saying? One day, man, I hope to be able to get behind the camera and do some cool stuff as cool as you, man. That's pretty cool, bro. So who's all in the movie, bro? Can you tell us a little bit about the movie or what it's about?
Yeah, it's about...
Who's Nixon?
Yep, so it's about a little boy named Nixon who's played by Emperor. And basically, the little boy has a bad heart, and the parents aren't aware of this condition that he has, and he doesn't even know. And as he's playing basketball at a game, he falls to the ground, and the dad, which is played by Fizz, rushes to the court to figure out what's going on, call the ambulance. He gets rushed to the hospital, and then the doctor says he's diagnosed with a rare heart disease, and he needs a heart transplant. And the mom, which is played by Cicely Cameron, she works at a strip club, and she's like, well, telling the dad, Fizz, like, well, what are we gonna do? Because they got to come up with, you know, $100,000 to do the heart surgery, because insurance won't cover the surgery, so they don't have that type of money or the insurance to cover it. So the mom's like, fuck it, I'm gonna go rob the strip club, and that's how we gonna pay for it. And the dad, Fizz, like, nah, that's the dumbest idea. But she sneaks out, does it anyways, and when she does that, all hell breaks loose and shit just comes back firing. 2 years later, and her son ends up getting kidnapped by the people she robbed him. You know, I won't get too much, but
wow, I mean, you told us more than enough. I mean, wow, man. I mean, the story, man, is you know, I mean, first of all, man, diseases, man, you know, one thing that we don't do in today's society is we don't ask each other, how's your health? You know what I mean? And there's a lot of kids out here that are born with, you know, deficiencies, you know what I mean? They have disabilities, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just to, for you to shine light, you know, on a topic like that, you know what I'm saying? you know, about a kid with a bad heart. You know what I mean? That says a lot about you as a person. I mean, you did write the script as well, right?
Yeah, yep. Wrote the script, directed it, edited it, produced it, you name it.
What inspired you to talk about a kid with a bad heart?
So it comes from a real spot in my heart, which is my uncle who passed away at age 16. He passed away from a heart failure. And my mom was telling me the story before I wrote the script of how he passed away at a young age. And one night when I was sleeping in bed, so my grandparents weren't paying attention to his signs that he was showing. And this is what I showed through the movie. I showed little signs that my uncle was showing, but they didn't understand. They just thought he was tired because he was playing a lot of sports, but he had a bad heart, and that condition was wearing down his body. So one day he just that morning he didn't wake up from having that heart attack. But he gave me the vision when I was sleeping. I woke up and wrote like 70 pages of the script and just went to work from him telling me the vision. And I never thought I could write. I was like you. I was on filming class part 4, and I thought I could never be a writer. I thought I was gonna hire someone to write. I didn't even have the story in my head. It just came from him, and I woke up and started writing like I was just a vessel. You know what I'm saying? My fingers was moving faster than my mouth can, you know.
And talk. This is your uncle. This is your mom's brother.
My mom's brother, who passed away.
I know your mom got to be proud of you, man. Just to be so. Like to be so in tune, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in a way, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that was a really nice way to pay homage not only to your uncle, but to her brother, you know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure she's really proud of you, as well as your father is too, man. He's a tycoon in his own right. Shout out to C.D. Palmer.
Yeah, shout out Pops. Yep.
Legend. Man, that's crazy, man. Wow, that's some real inspiration behind the movie, man. You know what I mean? You know, everything has to have a story. Man, thank you for sharing that with me. I think that's something that people would never know unless you shared that information. You know, and clearly, you know, your family was, you know, affected, you know, by the loss of your uncle. So that was pretty cool, man. A way to really bring it home.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, just for other families out there, my little nephew, he has a bad heart too, and they, you know, luckily the parents went through the surgeries and had insurance to cover all his surgery. But just to, you know, just show light. I was doing location scouting one time, and I went to this house, and they was like, what's the movie about? And she was like, wow, that's crazy, because my daughter has that same heart condition that my uncle passed away with, and she showed me her medicine cabinet. And it's just so wild, like, you know, how much medicine these kids gotta take just to stay alive, and how much money it costs just to keep them alive, because it ain't free. Just the checkups is expensive, and the medicine's expensive. And it's just like that problem is just like a bad problem to have. And to be able to show light in through a movie, and how mother would go through anything to save her son is a powerful message.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to see Ron Nixon, man. This movie is gonna be a smash, man. I know that you're gonna have great success with this and so many other movies. But I have to ask you this question, man, for the listeners, because they would want me to ask you this question. What is it like to work with, you know, Fizz, like Lil Fizz from B2K? Like, man, he's a big pop star in this pop culture, you know what I mean? We all grew up, you know, with B2K around us. I mean, I knew so many girls, I would go to their house and I'd see posters on the wall. You know, it was crazy. Like, what was it like? You know what I mean? I know what my experience was, you know, considering my brother being in the group with him, but what was it like actually working with him? You know, you guys working together hand in hand, actually doing a feature film.
Nah, man, it's more like a Kobe Shaq experience, because like he's so talented and so versatile. He can. I think people really don't. I think this movie's gonna really show his real acting capabilities, man. The boy can really act. He breaks down the script mentally in his head, and once he understands what it is, he just comes and he just naturally delivers the role. And even when it's if, even if we got to pull another take and, you know, he's got to work with an actor that's not as savvy as he is, he still knows how to, you know, he still knows how to maneuver around and make the scene still come to life. So and he shows up when he needs to show up, he delivers, he does his thing. So it's like working with Fizz is like, you know, it was a good thing.
Crazy, and, man. That's crazy, man. Much respect to him, man. It's crazy because you know, always liked him. But like I know we had like bumped some heads, or I maybe got into it when his partner's on tour or whatever, but much love to Fizz, man. I got mad love, mad respect for him, and everything that he's doing. That's pretty cool, man. I heard he got some new music and stuff too. So let me ask you, how will we be able to see the movie? Or will we get a box office experience, or will we be able to go straight to streaming platforms and be able to just download it on our phone and watch it in the comfortable of our own home?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna do a little small gathering in a couple cities, depending on when it's come out or where it come out. But we're gonna touch Vegas, LA, Georgia, the Bay, and Houston, maybe even New York, just to go do small little premieres where the city can come out and watch the movie for that particular day. For the rest of the world to see it, they gotta see it on the. I can't give you the name of the platform up first, but they got exclusive rights to it first. And it's a place where Fizz's stuff is living at. So, but they'll be able to watch it there. And then after that, it'll be everywhere, man. You can walk into Walmart, go to the Redbox and buy the DVD. You know what I'm saying? Damn. It's going to be everywhere.
That's super duper lit. That's got to be the most exciting thing in the world, man.
Man, listen, man. I'm telling you this. I was, before I had the money, I didn't have the money for the movie. And I was trying to get down the corner, me and the main character who plays the villain Slice, which his name is Jordan Lee Brown. We stood on the corner.
They scared the shit out of me, man. That dude scared the shit out of me. Hey, by the way, thanks for allowing me to, man, come for the private screening, man. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the cameo in there as well. The DJ, y'all might see your boy up in there. You know what I'm saying? Oh, just 2 seconds, y'all. Don't blink or you gonna miss me.
Yeah, they gonna remember that voice. They gonna remember that voice. Yeah.
Man, I like that dude, Slice, man. Big up to fucking Slice.
The world is going to witness the new, he don't like to be compared to Denzel, but the world's going to witness a new Denzel. And
he's a cold villain, man. I was scared when he talked.
Yeah, Slice is so versatile, man. That boy going to be a beast in the game, man. We're going to try to do this, we are doing that, you know, similar to what Ryan Coogler did with Michael B. Jordan, where they were banging out movies left and right. You see how where that went, you know, they Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan's Black Panther and everything, billion-dollar film, so... me and him, we rocking out. He's doing part two. He's a great writer. He's a great actor.
Part two?
Yeah,
part two.
Ryan Nixon part two, The Revenge of Slice.
Oh, man. You know, I got to put my bids in. This time, I'm going to make sure I'm getting in line with all 1,000 people, and I'm going to read them lines.
Nah, part two a little bit different. Part two is straight action and killing. It's going to be on a whole different level. It's like if Michael Bay... did part two.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Slice is blowing up a lot of shit. He's killing off everything that try to kill him.
I want to be a bad guy like him, man.
Yeah. Have you seen U.S. Marshal?
No, I haven't.
With Wesley Snipes? Back in the day, U.S. Marshal, 1995, I think it came out.
I stuck with names. I'm sure I've probably seen it.
Okay. Well, that's what part two is like. But basically, the government is coming after. It's a manhunt looking for Slice because he done killed Shorty, his cop. He's going after a lot of people in he's on a revenge. So part two is going to be crazy.
Man, hold up, man. Hey, listen, man. Part two, man, I need to get up in there. Like, what's the one dude? The one dude, his name was So Fine.
Oh, my man.
Sophie.
Yeah, nah.
I think that was his name, man. That dude was like, he was big cripping and big. And man, they was, oh, man. Yeah, I think
the industry sleeping on him, man.
I think y'all gonna get an Oscar for this one, man. I think y'all gonna tear up the film festival. It's gonna go crazy.
I submitted to one film festival. They said, yeah, we got accepted. So we doing that July 13th at LA Live in Los Angeles.
Ah, shit. See, I spoke too soon, man.
Spoke too soon, Jack. Come on, baby.
That's what's up, man. Hey, listen, man, I ain't gonna hold you, bro. We can talk all day, man. I know you gotta get back in the editing room. I know you gotta get back on the set for your next project that you're working on. I appreciate you, man. You know what I'm saying? Anytime you wanna just chop it up with me, man, you know what I mean? Let the people know what you're doing, man. You know, you always got this platform. I'm on here every day. You know what I'm saying? Tune in, you guys, NAB Radio, on the iHeartRadio app. We on the Hip Hop Uncut Station. It's your boy Ricky Romance. This is the No Filter Podcast, and I am here with the legendary Scott Directs. The reason why I say legendary, because y'all will know his name. My guy, I appreciate you, man.
Romance Show, one and only, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, brother. Hey, did you want to shout out your team, man? I know you got a big team of professionals, man, you know, that helped to make this thing possible over with this Run Nixon team. Do you want to shout out any of your crew?
Shout out the whole crew, man. There's everybody that was involved, from my guy Busy B, who helped go out there in the trenches and make this all possible, to Steve Liu, who was the first investor in the movie, to Kuda Love, who came and brought Fizz, to Sisney Cameron, Jordan Lee Brown, who helped me even narrate the script and bring his A-list talent to the team, to Emperor and his moms, to our Alyssa, who's a production manager, came in and made sure everybody was coordinated together, to my DP, who came in, and who Matt Films came in second play. I didn't think he was gonna be able to pull it off, and he shot the whole movie, because my other guy ended up quitting on the last minute, man.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I all I saw was a whole bunch of white people and Asian people. I didn't really, you feel me, when it came to your crew. I mean, not like that. I didn't mean to be racist and say it like that, but like a lot of names and people I don't know, but I had a chance to like meet some of the people. So, man, shout out to the people. Everybody was nice. They treated me very professional on your set. Man, you definitely like, bro, like, man, like you the greatest, man, for the culture, man. And man, I can't wait, man, for everybody to see what you're doing.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, like you said, it's legendary work. It's not the last one. It's just the first of the beginning. And world just need to, you know, we just about to make the world pay attention to what's really going on.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Scott, man, for letting me down with you first, man, before anybody else, man. I appreciate that, bro. That shows how much respect you got for your boy, man. You know what I'm saying? So we got mad love for you over here at No Filter Podcast, man. Anytime.
Hold it down.
Put up NAB Radio. All right, bro.
All right.
Later.